Canada has joined Australia, the UK and the United States in diplomatically boycotting the Beijing Winter Olympics, with China slamming the move as political posturing. But it's not the first time the Games have been caught up in politics. 40 years ago, at the height of the Cold War, the Australian government tried to go even further, urging the National Olympic Federation to follow Washington's footsteps with an athletes' boycott of the Moscow Games. But they refused the request, announcing the team would march behind the Olympic flag instead of the usual Australian flag at the opening ceremony. In 1980, my next guest was just 16 years old, yet she was the captain of the Australian swimming team and decided to compete in the Moscow Olympics along with more than 100 Aussie athletes. Lisa Forrest, welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks for having me, Patricia. It sounds bizarre, doesn't it? Like, it does sound like a bizarre thing to happen. At that time now, I sort of think, God, really? Was that me?
Did I do that? It's pretty incredible for someone so young too. Take me back to 1980. The country was divided over the Prime Minister's wish to boycott the Games entirely, yet you and more than 100 Aussie athletes competed under the Olympic flag. How much pressure was there not to compete?
Oh, a lot of pressure. There was a massive amount of pressure. The question was always what was bizarre. I mean, you know, I was sort of involved in the lead up, you know, sort of talking about whether I thought we should go. And then once I was named captain of that team at the end of March, when the Olympic trials were, that's when it became very intense. And, you know, the question was always not how will you go, but why should you go? You know, the world is trying to fight communism and you just want to fulfill your little dream. And you know, the public, you know, very much like we're seeing today over issues, you know, we had a whistle by our telephone because our death threats came by phone, and we had a silent number, so somebody had found that out. But the athletes were intimidated in all sorts of different ways. But we, you know, we just held the line in very much, well, I mean, it's not like it's an argument right now, but ultimately what we were saying was, that's fine if we want to actually protest the invasion of Afghanistan, but let's do it as a whole community. And at that particular point, you know, the Olympic Games is a grand stage. And so it over, you know, historically, even once I wrote my book about the boycott, sort of did a bit of research, like almost every Games has been affected by some boycott. But if, you know, at that particular time in 1980, we still wanted to trade wool and wheat and a mineral called rutile, which was, you know, used to make weapons. So we were saying, well, you know, we're going to clothe the Russian army with our wool, we're going to feed them our wheat, and, you know, we're going to help them make their weapons. So why should the athletes not go? Because sport also has this capacity to build bridges that politics breaks.
You were even offered incentives from the government to stay home, right?
Oh, yeah, big incentives, yeah. No, so
like what?
Even though Malcolm Fraser said, so it's a very, very unpopular move for an Australian government to try to stop your athletes going to the Olympic Games. We love the Olympic Games. And I think even, you know, look at the beginning of the lockdown this year, you know, that we got to watch the Olympics and the Olympians and the Paralympians in Tokyo, gave us all a big boost. So it's hugely unpopular. So even though he said, yes, we want to support the US, he would not take that actual next step and stop us from going. So he put pressure on all the sponsors, he put pressure on Channel 7, and then individual athletes and sports, particularly the conservative sports, were offered money to stay at home. And then once the AOF voted that we would go, which was the 23rd of May on a Friday night, they voted 6-5 that we would go. So the $50,000 that they offered, the government offered the yachting team to withdraw, and the yachting association accepted without the yachtsmen getting a say, was then like tripled. They offered $125,000, $150,000 to hockey, to equestrian, to volleyball, and then individual amounts to athletes like Raelene Boyle. And there are many people who said that there were also, I mean, we had athletes who went who were approached by individuals representing a private consortium that were willing to help convince you to kind of withdraw from the game. So there was all sorts of money. I was never offered any money. I don't know why. They must have thought I was kind of, you know, determined to go.
Throwing forward 40 years, do you agree with the decision now to follow the US in diplomatically boycotting the Beijing Winter Games?
Look, I think that what the nicest thing about this particular one is that it's kind of a step in maturity, if you like. Like, the Olympic Games are a grand event and they get a lot of attention. And the IOC makes its decisions to, you know, engage with China or with the USSR or wherever they decide to host it, whoever the host is. And the athletes don't get a choice. And the athletes also don't have a lot of, we can't do much when it comes to human rights. Like, the, you know, trying to do, put pressure on another country about their human rights, you know, or about their behaviour in any way is a diplomatic and a political issue that has to be dealt with when it comes, you know, in all sorts of ways. So I think it's more mature that it's a diplomatic boycott. And I think that, you know, from the sounds of it, I'm not a political expert, but, you know, the US is doing other things as well. So they're, you know, they're making EV vehicles back on their own soil in Detroit. They're, you know, they're negotiating with Europe in terms of green steel. So there's a bunch of things that, well, I read about that seem to be going hand in hand with that. And so it's not just, oh, well, we're going to use the Olympians and the, you know, and the Olympic Games as a way to protest, but not really do anything.
After what happened in 1980 and the subsequent Eastern Bloc boycotts in 1984, any way that you think next year's diplomatic action could turn into an athletes' boycott of Beijing?
I don't think so. I think that those, and you know, not just those games, but definitely those two, 1980 and 1984, I think was the end of it. Also, the Olympic Games have become professional since then, so there's a whole lot of money involved that wasn't involved back then. Apart from, you know, the actual the notion of not of the Olympians training for all those years and Paralympians and not being able to compete. You know, I think that even though, you know, we do have a prime minister, you know, you can't necessarily rely on everything that he says, but he does, you know, he does see sport as part of being a fan of sport as part of his kind of persona. I think the public have said once and for all, I think it's been universally recognised. Even in 2008, when I published my book, there was a lot of stuff then about Tibet. There'd been a crackdown in Tibet, and every government said, we're not going, our athletes will still go. And I think also we've got, you know, as opposed to 1980, when the government still supported financially the Olympians going, Malcolm Fraser withheld money from the Olympic Federation. At that point, John Coates, who wasn't part of the AOF but was on the sidelines, it was always his mission then to make the Olympic movement independent, financially independent. So the Australian Olympic Committee and the Olympians, Paralympians and Winter Olympians, they can get there financially. They don't need to rely on the government.
Yesterday, former Winter Olympian and current federal independent MP Zali Steggall told ABC News that diplomatic boycott could place extra stress on athletes. What do you think about that? Is that what happens to athletes?
Well, I think that there's, you know, any time it's not a perfect sort of preparation for a Games, there is some, there's stress anyway, of course, but, you know, the fact that there is, you know, outside influence and the possibility that the Games might not be what you expected, then of course, you know, that's going to change your preparation. At the same time, athletes can't be separate to a society and or to the world, you know, and we are going, and you know that the Games are in China, and so there is a possibility that things could happen. And, you know, at the same time, I don't think athletes, well, I shouldn't say all athletes, but certainly, you know, we're aware of human rights. I was aware of human rights abuses. I was aware of, you know, the pressure that the Eastern Bloc athletes were under. Well, if you're a reasonable human being and you care about the world, then you are aware of what's going on, and you try to be. So I think maybe that athletes, well, I think I would feel kind of reassured that actually it's being done in the proper way and not, you know, just by using us or by using the athletes on a world stage.
Lisa, thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Lisa Forrest is an Olympian. She was the swimming team captain in the 1980 Moscow Olympics and has since written about her experience in the book Boycott. This is RN Drive.